welcome back to the jungle, church. Welcome back to our study of Daniel, where we're learning from this amazing man of God how to do life and live life and be the people of God in a broken, in an antichrist kind of a culture. It's kind of timely, isn't it? We need help knowing how to be believers, Christians, Christ followers right here today. And Daniel's helping us with that. Last week, Daniel clearly showed us that our devotion to God is not for sale. And when we find the world, whether it's the powers that be in our world, or whether it just is the busyness of this world trying to draw us away from our devotion to God, what do we say? You can't take that from me, right? Do we have that? Do we have a slide of that? You can't take that from me? No, we don't have that one. You all remember it? When the world tries to pull your devotion from God away, what do we say?
You can't take that from me.
Did anybody say that this week? Yes. Maybe when you're looking at your schedule and you're having to cut out your time with God, your prayer time, whatever it might be. Did you find yourself, there it is. I knew that was there somewhere. Did you find yourself saying this? Just kind of say, nuh-uh, you can't take that from me. I'm looking at my calendar, I'm like, nuh-uh. No, you can't take that from me. Not this week, no. My devotion to God, it's getting the first. It's getting the best. Well, in Daniel chapter 7 and 8, we find this man of God back in the business of dreams, visions, and interpretations. And I want to remind us of something. See, often we think of dreams, visions, interpretation, prophecy as something from the OT, meaning the Old Testament. We think of dreams, visions, prophecies as kind of an Old Testament kind of thing. But I want us to allow Peter to remind us it's not just for then, but it's also for the right here and the right now and for tomorrow until Christ comes back. Peter made this statement. It's recorded in Acts 2, verse 17. Peter said this in the last days, and he's quoting Joel. He's quoting a prophetic word by Joel. He says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on a few people. No, on all people. In the last days, as we're getting closer to the return of Jesus, Peter's reminding us that he's going to pour out his spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will what? Prophesy. Wow. And he says that your young men will see visions. Young men, raise your hands. Y'all are going to see some visions. And old men, raise your hands. I got my hand up. We're going to dream some dreams for the glory of God. Man, I love good dreams. These are going to be good dreams. It's going to be dreams from God, from heaven. It's going to be beautiful. You see, the stuff that Daniel was experiencing isn't just for him, and it isn't just for then. It's for the here and now. It's for all of us. Dreaming dreams, seeing visions, getting interpretations, and prophesying the name of Jesus in our land. But today we're going to jump to Daniel chapter 9. Open up your Bibles. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel is faced with some heavy news. How many of you have ever been faced with heavy news in your life? You ever received any heavy news? If every hand doesn't go up, I'm shocked. And if your hand doesn't go up, I want to talk with you. You're a miracle. A miracle. Daniel 9, verse 1, some heavy news here. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. The desolation would last 70 years. Life is really good at throwing us some curveballs, and if we live long enough, we're going to run into some desolation. That's what happens in a broken world. I mean, there might be some going on right now. That's how we feel, right? We want to scream because life can be hard. It can be difficult, and it can be time for lunch, and we're sitting listening to a sermon instead. Throws us curveballs. Life is good at handing out pain and brokenness. But what did Daniel do when he was reminded of this hard news, this hard thing, this desolation that was happening in his homeland in Jerusalem. What was his first response? He prayed. Daniel prayed. And like Daniel, that needs to be our reaction. And so we're going to find point number one of the message today is this, that prayer is our first response. Prayer needs to be our first response. When we're faced with difficulty, we need to go to the place of prayer. Daniel 9:3 once again. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. When he was reminded of the desolation, when he once again was encountering the reality that life is hard, that the world is not fair, Daniel turned to God. He turned to God. He didn't turn to despair. He didn't turn to worry. He didn't turn on the news. He didn't go out on Facebook. What are we going to do? No, Daniel turned to God. And he didn't just turn to God with a blank stare. He turned to God and he pleaded with God in the place of prayer. Daniel's immediate response, kind of his automatic, is what I'm sensing here from Daniel. His automatic response to the craziness of life was prayer. He didn't try to fix it in his own strength. And now we got to remember about Daniel. Remember, this guy is large and in charge. By this time, he's being placed over the rule. He's the second-hand man to Darius. He's like the governor of governors. He's like the vice president, but he's actually doing something. You know what I mean? He's active and he's engaged in ruling all of Babylonia, all the Babylon, you know, provinces, the whole works. So he had a lot of power. He had a lot of influence. He could make things happen. But when he's reminded of the desolation of his people in Jerusalem, he doesn't take it into his own hands. He takes it to God. He takes it to God and he immediately begins to pray. Let's say that together. Pray.
Pray.
One more time. Pray.
Pray.
Amen. So, church, how do we react when bad things happen? What do we do when we get distressful news? Listen to this, man. I didn't plan this. This is awesome. A little interaction with this. We pray. When the wheels are falling off of our lives, what do?
Pray.
We pray. What's our automatic response going to be?
Pray.
We're going to pray. Amen, amen, amen. I was reading a little story from an old school Baptist evangelist. His name is Vance Havner. He told a story about an elderly lady who was greatly distressed by many types of troubles. Some of them were real troubles, and a lot of her troubles were just imaginary. How many of you know that a lot of our troubles are imaginary? All right, so you can identify with this lady. All right, so hang with me. Here's how the story goes. A family member finally came up to her and tactfully said, "Grandma, you know, we've done all we can for you. You're just going to have to trust God for the rest now." And a look of absolute despair came over Grandma at that point. And she said, "Oh dear, dear, has it come to that?" You see what Havner's saying here? You see what he's saying? Has it come to that? Has it come to trusting God? Has it come to actually bringing our needs before the Lord? It should never have to come to that. That should be the first place we go when we find ourselves in trouble, whether real or imaginary. We take it first and foremost to God in prayer. And again, that was Daniel's immediate, and it looks like his automatic response. So I turned to the Lord God, and I pleaded in the place of prayer. You know, at Evident Life Church, we're a people of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. How do I know that? It's on the wall back there. It's our vision statement. That's our DNA. That's who God created us to be. That's what flows through our veins as a church fellowship. We're a people of prayer. And we're pursuing God and loving others. We're a people that go to God in prayer, not as a last-ditch effort. But this is just how we live our life. This is part of the rhythm of our lives. God has called us to be a people of prayer and pray big prayers and believe God for big things. We're a people of prayer. After all, it always comes back to desperate situations. It always comes back to us having a desperate need to God. So let's just start with God. And let's start it with prayer. It's a good reminder from the life of Daniel. So what is your desperate need? What problems are you facing? What are you trying to resolve right now on your own? We're all guilty of it, right? I do the same thing. What are those things right now? Do you have a financial crisis? Are you dealing with a health crisis in your life or in a loved one? Are you dealing with a family crisis, maybe with your children? A marital crisis? All of these things are very real. Times of desperation. Maybe there's just a big decision that you need to make, and you're clueless. You're clueless of what to do, and you don't want to make a mistake, and you want to walk in the will of God. Don't wait trying to figure it out on your own, trying to sort all of these crises out on your own, trying to work the angles on your own. Let's bring it to God in prayer right now and keep bringing it to God in prayer. Day in and day out, we take it to the Lord in prayer. Because you're going to have to trust God anyway. And we say we trust God. And so let's just pray and pray and pray some more. Let's say it again. Let's say pray.
Pray.
Amen. See, I figure if we can say pray, then we can walk into the next step and we can do pray. I love the lyrics of that song. I don't remember the name of the song. I just wrote down the lyrics this week. Where it goes, I called and you answered. And you came to my rescue. I called and you answered. I cried out to you and you answered. I turned to you, God, and I pleaded with you in the place of prayer and you answered. Well, I like the way the guy who wrote Lamentations, probably Jeremiah wrote Lamentations. I like the way he says it. It's in Lamentations 3, 55 through 58, where he says, I called on your name, O Lord, from the depths of the pit. I know none of y'all know that, depths of the pit. From the depths of the pit, this guy's calling on the name of the Lord. You heard my plea. Do not close your ears to my cry for relief. You came near when I called you, and you said, do not fear. Oh Lord, you took up my case, and you redeemed my life. Are you in the pit? The depths of the pit. The pit of despair. Are you there? Worry, concern, hurt, pain, pray. Pray. Give it to God. Seek the Lord because He is able. Prayer. I love prayer. It's a gift from God. It's a gift from the Lord. Let's let it be our automatic or immediate response. And prayer is definitely where we need to go when things are going on in our own lives, whether it's good or bad, frankly. But here's the deal about prayer. Prayer should also be our first, our immediate, our automatic response when we see something going on wrong around us. Like even in the world that we live in our community and in our nation. See, we have to understand that prayer is our gift to our nation. That's the second point. Prayer is our first response, but prayer is our gift to our nation. Have you ever thought of prayer that way? It's our gift to our nation. Jerusalem had fallen off the cliff. They were in a place of, as Daniel calls it, desolation. In other words, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Jerusalem back together again. It was a bad situation. The nation was in despair and in desolation. But Daniel wasn't looking for men or two men for answers. Rather, Daniel was crying out to God, the one who could rescue. And he was crying out to the Lord in prayer. And the kind of prayer that Daniel was engaging in at this point wasn't personal petition, but this was intercession. Y'all familiar with that term, right? Intercession. We all know this. Christ is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us right now, his followers, those who are saved, redeemed in him. And we're on this earth as his church, as his people, as his ambassadors to make intercession even on behalf of a fallen world that we find ourselves living in. Intercession. It's where God's people stand in the gap on behalf of others, even on behalf of an entire nation. That's intercession. God's people. Are you God's people? Come on now. This is intercession. This is where we, God's people, stand in the gap on behalf of others. Daniel begins this intercession with confession and repentance. Our favorite thing, right? It's powerful. Verse 4, let's continue in Daniel 9. Verse 4, Daniel says, I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps the covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands, we have sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked and we've rebelled. We've turned away from your commands and your laws. We've not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings or princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. And then Daniel goes on for the next 9 verses, confessing and repenting on behalf of his nation. Confession and repentance. Not for something that he had personally been involved in. He might have done some of this stuff, but he's making confession and repentance on behalf of a nation who fell away from God, who turned their back on the Lord. So do we throw criticism and mud at a nation that's fallen apart, or do we pray? I know I go this place a lot because this is one of the reasons you don't see me on social media a whole lot. Like I said last week, I just kind of get out there now, I drop something and I run because, you know, there's so much stuff on social media when the world's falling apart and things aren't working. Unfortunately, a very natural response, even from believers, is to criticize. And to broad brush, you know, what's going on and doom and gloom and all of this kind of stuff. Just publicly, we throw that stuff out there. We're just playing right into the hands of the enemy, by the way, when we do that. Because our words matter and how we speak matters. And Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those social media platforms are ways that we're speaking into our world today. And are we going to speak curses and death? Are we going to speak life and hope and Jesus and salvation? Are we going to be the other voice? Are we going to play with the darkness and talk like the darkness and act like the darkness? Or are we going to be the light in our community today? We need to be the light in our community today. And what we need to do is we need to pray. That's what we need to be doing. In fact, the next time you see something online and it's like the world is coming to an end, the sky is falling, it's horrible out there, maybe you should reply with a comment that's actually a prayer and some scripture declaring the lordship of Jesus Christ even over that situation and even over our nation right now that's in a place of despair at times. What's our response? Prayer is our gift to our nation, not our criticism. Prayer is our gift to our nation. And Daniel, after confessing and repenting on behalf of his people, then we find him crying out for mercy and for blessing. Because that's what Jerusalem needed at that time. That's what was needed in the midst of desolation. What do you need when your world's falling apart? What do you need when you personally are feeling beat up and like you have no hope and everything's falling apart. What do you need? Criticism? Advice? Or do you need mercy and blessing from God? I need mercy and blessing from God. If you see me, you know, all curled up in a fetal position because I'm panicking and I feel like my world's falling apart, I don't need advice about what food I should eat that would help me feel better and, you know, look better and have a better attitude about life. I need prayer and I need mercy and blessing from heaven. That's what I need when I find myself in that situation. I think I'm hearing some amens. You agree, right? That's what we need. And that's what Jerusalem needed then. And so Daniel turns from confession and repentance to the place of crying out for mercy and blessing for a hurting people. And he continues in verse 16 of chapter 9. He says, "O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away from your anger and your wrath. Turn them away from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of our servant for your sake, O Lord. Look with favor on your desolate sanctuary." Jumping ahead to verse 19. "O Lord, listen, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act for your sake, O my God. Do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name." Mercy and blessing. Mercy and blessing. Our nation needs God's mercy. Because without God's mercy, it's going to go from bad to worse. Without God's mercy, we truly are a lost people and a hopeless people. But who's able to ask God for mercy for a godless society? For even a culture that at times kind of has an antichrist spirit about it. Who is able to ask God for mercy? Who has standing before the courts of heaven to be able to ask God to bring his mercy and his blessing instead of his judgment? We do. Amen. We do. It says in Psalm 24, 3 and 4, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." That means people who have been washed by the blood of Christ Jesus, right? The redeemed, the church, the people of God. "Who does not lift his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." So who in this nation can approach heaven and cry out for mercy? His church. We can. His church can do that. You know, in the court system, you're not even able to approach a court, to approach a judge, to bring any kind of suit unless you have standing. You have to have standing. You have to have a reason, a legal reason and a legal right to be able to approach the court and to beg and to plead your case. Well, who is able to approach the throne of God, the King of Kings, the Judge of Judges? Who is able to do that? Those with standing before him. And we have standing before him because of Christ in us. Because of Christ. Because of Christ. So our response to living in a nation that's broken must be intercession. Intercessory prayer. Prayer is our gift to our nation. Finally, let's look at point number 3. Prayer releases revelation. I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. Taught through that recently, right? How many of you love the book of Revelation? How many of you are scared to death when you read the book of Revelation? All right, you can be honest. We can be scared to death, but excited at the same time, right? Because it's crazy stuff, apocalyptic stuff. But man, it's all about Jesus coming back and making all things new. And it's going to happen. And praise God, let it happen soon. Let's come on, Jesus, come back. Come on, Jesus. Okay, back to Daniel. Prayer releases revelation. Check this out, verse 20, chapter 9. "While I was speaking and praying," Daniel says, so he's in the middle of praying, he's pleading with God, "while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people, Israel, and making my request to the Lord, my God, for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer." Was he watching something on television? No, man. While I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in a swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me. Do you see what's happening here? I mean, God's like revealing himself, showing up, sending angels, revelation, vision to this man who, instead of criticizing and trying to fix it in his own strength, is pleading with God. He's on his face before the Lord. I mean, probably in his room, right? We know where Daniel prayed. He'd go to his room, he'd open up the window, he'd face east, and he would cry out to God. And he's in the middle of one of those amazing times where he's being who he is, and that's a man of prayer. He's crying out to God, and it says, this man, Gabriel, who he'd seen earlier in his vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice, and he instructed me. How many of us need some instruction from God? He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to, all right, let's say it louder. As soon as you began to what?
Pray.
An answer was given, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Do we need answers? Do we need insight? Do we need to hear the voice of God over all the other voices in the world today? Are we desperate to know what God is saying? Because without him, we know we're going to mess it all up. We're there, right? Are we hungry for revelation? Are we hungry for God to show up? Are we hungry for the mysterious, even the supernatural way that God speaks and directs and guides his people? Do we want some of that? Yeah. I want some of that. Then let's pray. Let's pray. That's what Daniel was doing when all of this went down. Being a man of prayer. Not as a last-ditch effort. Not if his schedule, you know, made room for it. His immediate, his automatic response. Personally, I receive more revelation from God when I'm in that place of intentional prayer than anywhere else by far. That's where I go every single week asking God, what are you saying to the church? What's the revelation for Evident Life Church this week? What's the direction for Evident Life Church? Where are you leading us? Because I don't want to sell anything short. I want to go where you're going. I don't want to rip off the Evident Life Church congregation because I'm just kind of figuring it out on my own. I'm desperate for revelation, and it's in that place of intentional prayer. And yes, God can speak to us at any time. We can be doing something totally stupid, and God can speak to us. Give us revelation and understanding. But man, I'm telling you, when we get serious enough to step away and to sit, and to cry, and to plead, and to listen. That means shutting our mouths for some time, right? For the voice of God, he speaks. He's still releasing revelation to his church, for ourselves, and for our nation. The church is the hope of the nation. And the only reason we're the hope of the nation is because we're the people of God that hear the voice of God and bring the presence of God and the love of God, the grace of God to our nation. So I want to end with some declarations. We're going to voice our resolve. And you all already know the word that we're going to be yelling together, right? And I said yelling because I want us to say it like we mean it. What's the word?
Pray.
Pray. There we go. Pray. So if our children turn from God and get caught up in sin, what are we going to do?
Pray.
Amen. If we get hard news from the doctor, what are we going to do?
Pray.
I love this church. If we don't get that promotion, or worse, if we lose our job, what are we going to do?
Pray.
If we turn on the news and hear that our nation is falling further from the Lord, what are we going to do? We're going to pray. If we discover injustice and evil in our land, what are we going to do?
Pray.
Amen. We're going to pray. Look out, devil, man. These people know what they're doing. They're armed. Armed, armed, armed. We're a people of prayer. Pursuing God and loving others. And our prayer is our gift to our nation, to our neighborhood, to the town that we live in here. Prayer is our gift. It's going to be our immediate and our automatic response as we continue to step in to the identity, the calling that we have as the people of God. I want to let you all know this, that we pray every Wednesday night. We have a prayer meeting every Wednesday night. In fact, this church was launched out of a Wednesday night prayer meeting. Started in my family room, my living room actually, back home. And it's the same prayer meeting that's going on today, every Wednesday night. And if I'm in town, I'm at that prayer meeting. Every single Wednesday night. Because I'm desperate to be in the presence of God and to hear the voice of God. I need revelation from the Lord. And I see as we come together that darkness is pushed back. I see and we experience the release of God. When we come together on Wednesday night, we're crying out to God. Sometimes the Holy Spirit has us being the intercessors in our community today. And we're pushing back darkness. We're ripping the gates of hell off of their hinges. And we're releasing the light, the love, the grace of Jesus Christ over our community. Sometimes the Lord just releases spiritual gifts, prophetic gifts, words of knowledge as we come together that are to build up, as it says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, the purpose of the gifts, to build up the body, to build us up, to encourage us, to bring freedom, greater freedom in our lives. If you're interested in being in a safe environment where the Holy Spirit may show up with some spiritual gifts, this is a great place to be. It's a safe place. I call it the incubator. We're all learning. We're all growing up in the Lord and what He has for us. It's a safe place. You come, you can just watch it, you can check it out, and then who knows where God's going to take it from there in your life. It's a good place to go. We meet Wednesday nights. We're going to be 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We're in go time, so we don't have our classes and groups happening here, you know, on Wednesdays right now, but we're going to be in here, and if we're not in here, we're in the prayer room. We're in one of these two rooms. We're going to see the size and the grace that we need for that meeting. We're going to be in one of these two rooms, and we're going to be praying, and we're going to be these people of God that do what? We pray.